Last night in our devotions, this question came up a lot. Concerning the circumcisions, what were the specifications about who could circumcise? Because here it says, the Lord tells Joshua to sharpen the knives and circumcise, but if we see it's extremely impractical, it'd take a while if he had to circumcise himself, all the men in Israel. And we were wondering if it was only circumcised men that could circumcise, and that would have been just him and Caleb, because, as they said, no circumcision was done in the desert as well.
I don't think we get a good answer to that out of the text, although you brought up a good point that both Joshua and Caleb were the only ones at this point who were circumcised, who were of fighting age. But I think one thing that's interesting in seeing how this younger generation that was coming up was circumcised, I think a lesson for us there is that the things that our parents have taken hold of in the past, or our grandparents, that's not enough. We need to take hold of those things for ourselves. Truths about the Christian walk, truths about the church and what it means to relate to each other as believers. All of these things, these are things that we need to take hold of ourselves. It's not enough to just rely on our parents or older brothers and sisters in the meeting to do those things for us. So I just wanted to mention that.
Can you just restate his question, because some of us didn't get it?
The question was, if only Joshua and Caleb were already circumcised, then who did the circumcising for all of these people? Was it just Joshua and Caleb? Because that seems impractical.
Just complimenting what his question was too, because it says that Joshua circumcised the people in verse 2, 3. So we were wondering, who would be? That was his question.
I don't know that we need to spend more time on a question that Scripture doesn't answer, so whatever we're going to say is going to be conjecture. Scripture doesn't answer exactly how. We know that it happened. But I want to address just in a little practical way. We've got some young people in this room. Some of you have joined us for the first time this year. We have others that just moved up last year. And we've been talking about this as adults, some of us brethren, that a couple years ago you were making a duck or you were doing things up in the classroom. Now you're here. What does this word self-judgment mean? We need to be very practical about that. There was the time when mom and dad made your decisions for you. Mom and dad were always there. They said, yes, son, you can do this. No, son, you can't do that. What is the truth behind Gilgal and self-judgment? This is what we need to see. Now it's not me depending on mom or dad, but it's through the Spirit of God saying to me, listen, you need not to be listening to that music. You need not to look at that website. This, what you're doing, you don't have someone else coming. Your parents would tell you. But self-judgment is really us before the Lord applying the Word of God to our own lives that we might grow. Our brother has mentioned that it is a daily thing. I know a young man that is down in the adult readings today. Years ago, he left this Bible reading. And he went home, and he went to his library of CDs, and he went to the landfill. He did just what they did in the book of Acts. He took those things that he knew was wrong in his life. And if you're 14 or 15 or 19 or 21, we all know what that means. Stuff that's in our life that we shouldn't be doing. Those people in the book of Acts burned those books. Are we willing to do that? The CDs, they're not good for anybody else. They weren't good for him. They went into the dumpster. This is where we come to in this matter, in a practical way of self-judgment on a day-by-day basis.
And I think that ties together, actually, the question and the answer, and where you just take us to. This circumcision that is a daily living out of cutting off in myself what is not according to the mind of God. But the fact that all the children of Israel, all the men, were circumcised, it wasn't some who said, okay, I'm going to cut off my flesh, okay, because I'm separated unto God. And others said, well, I'm not so sure I want to go down that road yet. They were all, it was all the men were circumcised. And as the question was, who circumcised it? Well, it doesn't tell us. And you know, the fact, other than the fact that it just says Joshua circumcised them, is because all of them are seen in Christ by God. So as God views his people, he sees them all as one. He sees them all as dead to the flesh. They've come through Jordan. They're on resurrection ground. That's how they're seen in the value of the work that Christ has done. So in him. But now the question is what Chuck brought out, is how do I walk in the reality of that and live it out in my daily life? And that's where the rubber meets the road.
I'd like to read a verse from Colossians chapter 2. To just help us a little bit, because I think, as we know, Joshua here is a type of the Lord Jesus. And in the energy and power of the Spirit of God is where we have circumcision, the knife of circumcision, applied to us in this day. Colossians chapter 2, begin at verse 9. For in him, that is the Lord, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which also ye are raised with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. I know this is a lot, and it's a difficult verse to get through, but in simplicity, what it is saying here is that we have been circumcised. Now, there's self-judgment that is needed on a daily basis. But as we spoke earlier, there's the positional aspect as to what God has done in Christ, and therefore ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. And putting off the body, it's not of the sins of, it's the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So we are seen in him, young people, as something that is done. And as Brother Chuck is saying, but on a daily basis now, and this is Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, that we must, as on a daily basis, lay down that life, put to death the flesh. It is examining the things that I am doing, listening to, where my feet take me, that will play to the flesh, that will encourage the flesh to be active. But when there is the cutting off of the foreskin, the flesh, that is to be in subjection to God, and to recognize that the circumcision that we have is circumcision made without hands. It is in the energy and the power of the Spirit of God. So if we occupy ourselves with all of the things that are going to defile, because the cutting away of the flesh is to be rid of defilement in a very practical way. It has to do with cleanliness. It has to do with ridding ourselves of defilement. And when we take these things in from the world that defile us, they're going to impede us from dealing with the enemy. We're going to be in a compromised position. And, you know, as a military man, you never want to be in a compromised position, because the enemy is able to see just what point by which he can enter your body, what point he can approach you. So the cutting away of the flesh enables us to be in a position of strength to deal with the enemy.
I just had a wonder if we could go a little more into the knives. In the Darby translation, it make these stone knives. So I have a two-part question. Is there a significance to the material, the stone, for example? Why not iron or bronze? And then the second question is, what exactly do the knives speak of in our life? What tool is it that we use to do that daily circumcision?